What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and this is our second part in our biblical counseling story on Ozempic. Remember, a biblical counseling story is where it's kind of like journalism meets Transformed and biblical counseling. I've done my best to take different topics, research them, report them to you, and then help you frame them from a biblical worldview. So this is the second part. If you haven't listened to the first part on Ozempic, I would actually encourage you stop here, go back, listen to that first part, and then you'll be caught up to speed, because in our last episode, I really explained what is the nature of Ozempic. 1 in 8 adults are using it, and it is increasingly on the rise in young adolescent females starting at age 12, going to age 25. Ozempic is on the rise. It was approved in roughly 2017 by the FDA, and basically since that point, it's just been taking off. It was originally for blood sugar diabetes, but it has been found to help slow stomach emptying and change how full you feel after every meal. So now what's taking place is Ozempic is becoming a weight loss drug. Weight loss drug, I don't mean that in a negative way, but a medically prescribed drug that you can use to help you lose some weight. And as I was researching for this, I found a story of a lady named Janelle Rohner. If you haven't heard this story, it's actually quite fascinating. She's built a social media platform, Instagram, YouTube, on being a macro coach. Macro coach. So think of macro as like a nutritional coach. And she's been very public about her own weight loss story. In fact, using her own weight loss story as an advertisement for her product. She's even developed a course on nutrition and how to lose weight, exercise, diet, so forth. So the journal, the Wall Street Journal, published on May 22nd, 2025, that influencer Janelle Rohner expanded her social media following in recent years as she documented her weight loss journey. Sharing tricks like using bell peppers as the bread for sandwiches and selling a $200 course on macronutrients along the way. Can you guys imagine using bell peppers for a sandwich? Like, that sounds awful. Bell peppers are made for fajitas, everybody. That's the only application of a bell pepper. Well, the article goes on to say, when she told followers last month that some of the recent weight loss was due to the use of a GLP-1, like an Ozempic, then the online commentators quickly soured on her. If you're in the fat loss world and taking a GLP-1, you must disclose it, one commentator wrote below the YouTube video. Rohner used the reveal. She used to reveal her GLP-1 use. There's nothing wrong with taking one, but not disclosing it while selling fat loss courses is slimy, another commenter stated. So of course, what Rohner did was really build a platform off of her weight loss journey, all the while not disclosing that she was using an Ozempic type. And once she did, if you're not a public figure, sometimes it's hard to reckon with the online commenters of the world or commentators of the world. People that will go and post and just savagely assault you. So if you're not in that public figure world, it's hard to identify with that. But once she released that, oh man, like this huge backlash, because she's putting herself forward as this macro coach and she's secretly taking weight loss drugs. And I think she was doing that for about 11 months while selling her course and talking about this body transformation that she's experienced. So why do we not like that? Well, it's like hearing that Barry Bonds, you know, a home run record, he's doping and taking steroids. It's like hearing that Lance Armstrong, remember the Livestrong guy, he won like 7 Tour de France. And then it was found out that he found this way to dope without being caught. It's like that. We don't like performance-enhancing drugs if they're not disclosed, because what they're doing is they're giving an unfair advantage in whatever you're doing, baseball, bicycling, or even weight loss. So that same is true here. And I think Roner, she found out in a way that probably it was an overreaction. One of the commenters did say there's nothing wrong with taking a GLP-1. There isn't, but if you're representing that you're not taking one, then that's more of a dishonesty issue than it is it wrong to take a GLP-1 or is it wrong to take Ozempic altogether? Well, I left off in our last episode saying, hey, look, it's on the rise. America's in the top 10 of nations struggling with obesity. How do we as Christians think through weight loss drugs? How do we think through Ozempic and the Ozempic types of the world? Remember that Ozempic is not the only one. It is one of the primary weight loss drugs, but you also have Wegovy and Mounjaro as another, primary weight loss drug. Are these wrong and how should we think about them biblically? So today's episode, I'd like to just finish with those thoughts, which are, should we as Christians just totally reject any weight loss medication, or what biblical principles inform taking it or not taking it? But let me prompt your thinking just for a second, because this really challenged me as I was prepping for today's episode. Have you ever differentiated between gluttony and obesity? Have you differentiated between gluttony and obesity? Gluttony, many of us, we would immediately jump to, yeah, gluttony is a sin. And Charles Spurgeon, who was not a small guy himself, in fact, may have died of health issues, overworking, gout, I think he died 55. He died in his mid-50s. He said, I believe that gluttony is much a sin in the sight of God as drunkenness is. Is that the same thing as obesity, though? Have you ever thought to clarify, is being obese the same thing as being gluttonous or glutinous? No, glutinous, I think, is a different word. Obesity, as defined by the National Institute for Health, the NIH, is being overweight and obesity are common conditions in the United States that are defined as the increase in size and amount of fat cells in the body. Overweight and obesity are caused by many factors, including behaviors like eating patterns, lack of sleep or physical activity, and some medicines, as well as genetics and family history. But notice, obesity is basically being overweight, and that overweight corresponds to fat cells in the body. And even the National Institute for Health says that this comes from many things. Eating patterns, lack of sleep, genetics, medicines can encourage you to gain weight. But a definition of gluttony is actually different from obesity. Gluttony is excess in eating or drinking, or being greedy, or an excessive indulgence. Gluttony and obesity are not the same thing. And you may think, well, one leads to the other. Maybe, but not always. Gluttony, if you actually spend some time thinking through this in the scripture, gluttony isn't talked about just a whole lot, number one. It's probably closer to what you would see as a mortal sin. Think of greed, gluttony. You've probably thought of it as being wrong, but you haven't paused to go to the scripture and saying, where does the Bible talk about gluttony? The clearest passages are going to be in Proverbs. Seriously, the clearest passages. And a few of them are talking about actually abstaining for the sake of you're with a greedy person instead of you being that covetous or greedy person with your food. So the beginning of chapter 23 in Proverbs says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. And that may immediately sound like, okay, there's gluttony being rejected. But the point here is, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. This is getting more at you are being manipulated. The ruler is going to now hold you to this gracious gift that they gave you. Instead of you being seen as gluttonous, this is more like you're being manipulated. So be careful. Don't eat too much. You don't want to be in this awkward position. Verse 20 says, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." Proverbs 23, 20 to 21, it's one of the clearest, like, gluttony, excessive eating and drinking, leads to slothfulness. Or Deuteronomy 21, 20, you have this rebellious son, take him to the elders and the city gates, tell them he is a drunkard and a glutton. So the city elders will exact capital punishment on this rebellious son. So just note, gluttony and obesity are not the same thing. The glutton is excessive, or they are idolatrously eating, and obesity is being overweight. Obesity does not mean that you're a glutton, just to be clear. Now, we could get into morbid obesity. You've seen the TLC shows, My 600-Pound Life. We could get into morbid, like rampant obesity, but it is not a sin to be overweight. That's not a sin. We're not talking about like a moral issue. In fact, when we come back from our break, I'll share with you Daniel chapter 1, verse 15, where Daniel is fatter than the Babylonian exiles and seen as being healthier. So let's take a short break, and then we'll go to Daniel when we come back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. This conversation that he's having on Ozempic, it's not hypothetical anymore, folks. These aren't fringe questions. This is right in the middle of our cultural bloodstream. And as Dr. Gifford's been showing, if we don't stop and ask biblical questions right here and right now, we're going to end up reacting like everybody else. And the story that he told about the influencer using a weight loss drug in secret, look, that's where we are right now. If we as Christians don't have categories for truth, then how are we going to think through this stuff clearly? That's the beauty of biblical counseling. That's the beauty of Transform. It's not slapping Bible verses onto body image. It's learning to see every motive and every desire through the lens of Scripture. That's what Transform exists to do. And that's what Dr. Gifford is doing every single day at the Masters University, where he's training students to walk into the hard situations with biblical clarity without compromise. If you ever thought about stepping into the field of biblical counseling, bless you, because we need so many more biblical counselors in our churches. And if you were considering it, I want to point you to the Masters University, because there at the Masters, you're not just going to study theology, you're going to learn how to walk in real lives with biblical wisdom. It's one of the strongest biblical counseling programs in the country at the Masters University, and you can learn more right now at masters.edu/transformed. And if Transformed has helped you think more clearly about your own life, your health, your decisions, your motives, then would you consider helping us keep this kind of content going? We depend on gospel partners, people who, just like you, who believe that this kind of content should be available to everyone, everywhere, for free, because that's what we do. We make this available to everyone, everywhere, for free, and we need people just like you to continue doing it. And so if you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you would like to lock arms with us and join us in our efforts here at Fortis Institute, we would love to partner with you. But again, remember, you've got to be faithfully giving to your local church. If you're doing that, go to fortisinstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of your questions. And while you're there, don't forget about Fortis Plus. It's our free app with hundreds of hours of audio and video content already available and more being added daily. Again, it's all free. You're not going to find a paywall or a subscription link. You're just going to find open access to truth. FortisPlus.org, or download the app wherever you download apps from. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford now. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about Ozempic, its applications. Really, it's beyond the use for heart disease and diabetes now. It's primarily being used for weight loss. How do we as Christians think that through? It was hard. You know, I read this story of the influencer who was representing her weight loss, but just not telling everybody that she was taking a GLP-1. So that leads us to start to question, like, why do we take Ozempic in the first place? And I ended last segment by saying that it's not a sin to be overweight. That is not inherently a sinful thing. In fact, Daniel asked to go on the special diet so he does not defile himself. The eunuch, the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, allows him to do it for 10 days. And at the end of it, verse 15, I'm reading from Daniel chapter 1, verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. Wait a minute. They're allowed to continue to stay on their veggies diet because they look better. They're not gaunt. They're not sickly and skinny. God had worked in a miraculous way so that they were fatter in flesh. Remember that it is oftentimes our modern Western thought that makes overweight, being overweight, inherently a sinful thing. So gluttony is always a spiritual problem, but obesity is not inherently a spiritual problem. You may have physiological reasons. You may be taking medication. You may have different thyroid. You may have just simply a metabolism that's different or a body type that's different. So gluttony is a problem, yes, but make sure you create a different category from obesity. So as a Christian, many are using Ozempic, potentially 1 in 8 people, not necessarily Christians, but 1 in 8 people are using Ozempic for weight loss. Is that biblical? Yes, you can use Ozempic for weight loss. That's the direct answer. If you're using a GLP-1 under medical oversight, you are not sinning, and this is within your biblical Christian liberties. 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul says, use a little wine for the sake of your stomach. Gastrointestinal issues need clean water. Otherwise, you mess yourself up even worse. So yes, Romans 14:23, if you can use Ozempic in faith, then you are not sinning to do so. You're doing so under medical supervision and you're legally obtaining those medications. So let me give you a couple of principles that should frame the use of weight loss drugs, GLP-1s, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. Let me give you a couple of principles that should frame that. First of all, a right understanding of self-image is what you should be evaluating yourself off of, not some weird westernized, skinny, muscular self-image. Romans 12 talks about we're stewards of the gifts that God has given to us, verses 3-4. God's given us different gifts. Psalm 139 talks about God actually making us and forming us in our womb and that we're different and our differences are to show his creativity so we glorify him. Or 1 Corinthians 4:1-4, we judge ourselves according to God's standards of judgment. And the Bible does not mention what is a healthy level of body fat. The Bible does not say that. It's not there, guys. You're not going to find it. So anytime you're hearing that, what are you hearing? An American westernized perspective of what is healthy. That's what you're hearing. So first of all, not that you're dismissive and you say, hey, medical doctor, you don't know what heart disease is, beat it. But you do say, hey, my vision of what I should look like does not correspond to a fat percentage. Americans and Westerners, we have to be very careful that we don't associate a muscular, skinny, physically fit build with being godly in some way. You can become overly focused on your health, and that is the wrong answer. I live in Southern California. I've said this in the past on Transform. There are many people here that are overly focused on their health. It's all sparkling water, salads, and if they drink a Coca-Cola, it would like send them into a panic attack. And we just have to be honest and say, look, you can be overly focused on your health. Some of the most physically fit people are too focused on their health. It's all about them and their diet. They spend too much money on their own nutrition and they're bordering hypochondriacs. So yes, your self-image is informed by God through his word, and the Bible never talks about body fat, number one. So what does it mean to really be a good steward? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You're pure. You're just simply pure. That is the context. You are living your life in such a way that God is honored in purity. So you do care about your body, but you just don't care too much about it. You're a good steward. You do your best to be active. Many of us have sedentary jobs. As I'm sitting here recording this, I'm not walking and carrying things. I'm sitting at a desk. I have a few jobs that are just sedentary, like teaching is a sedentary job. I mean, I stand in one place. Pastoring is not a active, I'm out running, carrying things all day. So, I mean, I'm very much in that sedentary vocation. So an active lifestyle is something you're thinking about as stewardship. nutrition is something you're thinking about as stewardship, but you're really trusting the Lord with the shape of your body and you're not worshiping your own flesh. You're not too fixated on how much protein did you have today or what was your caloric intake. You're not spending too much attention on yourself. You recognize that even an innate selfishness can come when I'm worried too much about my nutrition, my diet, my medication, my vitamins, all of that. So stewardship really is about being pure. And then secondarily is about trying to be a good steward of your body, but not a hypochondriac and a control freak about your body. Next, principles that guide. So first, a right self-image. Second, understanding biblical stewardship. Third, honesty. You're just being honest about what is your goal. And if you are using an Ozempic type, don't twist the facts. You know, don't represent that you've found some nutritional thing that's really doing all that. Just be honest about that and say, you know, I've started taking these meds that have really helped me get off of the cycle I was stuck in. No problem. Ephesians 4:25. You just speak the truth. Verse 15, you speak it in love. Don't misrepresent it. And I think that's what begins to hurt people is when you represent your weight loss as all natural, when in fact you are using meds to be able to do that. The next principle that I'll give you, so honesty, next principle is think of your lifestyle of self-control. Galatians 5:22 to 23 talks about how the Spirit, He produces in us certain aspects. And one of those aspects is self-control, that you deny your flesh what you naturally wanted. Self-control is evidenced in every believer. Every believer must deny themselves to follow Christ. And that is not inherently deny yourself a brownie, even though there can be implications for that, or deny yourself eating too much, and there can be implications for it. But that is denying your sinful flesh, your natural man. So that's why verses 16 to 19 in Galatians chapter 5 are really about the desires of the flesh, not about dieting or nutrition or exercise. So your self-control is denying your sinful flesh. That does have an application here, however. You recognize that self-control is part of the Christian life, and self-control demonstrates that you are mature and you're walking by the Spirit. If you don't have self-control, one of the areas it will show up is in your nutrition. And that affects an active lifestyle, that affects nutrition, you know, that affects sleep, all of those things that actually go into obesity as well. So if you don't have self-control, then you don't discipline yourself to go to bed on time, and you don't discipline yourself to wake up, and you don't discipline your food, right? You're tracking with me. So self-control is really the broader issue. It's not so much how much are you eating. If a person is significantly obese, I wonder about a breakdown in self-control. And it would not surprise me that someone who is like significantly obese, like there's no medical doctor in the world that would say they're just fine. When someone is significantly obese, there are other breakdowns in self-control. There's purity breakdowns. There are financial discipline breakdowns. Why? Because you just don't have self-control altogether. I would be surprised if you were just a jam-up worker, you were this expert employee, and you were significantly obese. Why? Because self-control is really that root issue that we have to grow in self-control. So does that mean that we are skinny? No, it does not. And it doesn't mean that we have a muscular build. It means that we have self-control, and that is we eat what we should eat and we don't eat too much. And what is that? You talk to your doctor, or talk to a nutritionist about what that is. So as you zoom out, no matter what happens, if you don't have self-control, the problem will keep coming back. So medication, it's going to help you lose weight right now, but you haven't changed your lifestyle of self-control. So as soon as you come off that medication, you're going to have those self-control issues still. It's masking the symptoms, but not uprooting the real issue here. So focus on self-control and watch the way that affects your weight loss. But you can't hear me say, and I haven't said, it's only self-control, because it's not. There are bodily issues that go into why certain people are prone to being overweight. So the principles are: have a right understanding of self-image, understand what stewardship of your body really means, be honest about it, and then ensure you have a lifestyle of self-control. In the end, our goal is to represent Christ well with our bodies, not ourselves. Our goal is not about looks. It's not about how we feel and how our clothes fit. Our goal is to represent Christ well. So if you can do that on Ozempic, then go for it. Represent Christ well and follow these biblical principles. I hope this biblical counseling story has been helpful to you. I will do more like them. Feel free to write into greg@transform.org if you got ideas. And I look forward to hearing from you. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for Christian liberty and the fact that you are a God who gives us kind of a space to operate in and lets us choose. Help us to make decisions that affect our body, that honor you. They're motivated by pleasing you and representing your son Jesus well. And then may they bless us in health, how we feel, the longevity of life, and all those things. So help us to get that right in this balance, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.